Today, answers matter more than ever before. That's why IBM is helping businesses manage customer questions with Watson Assistant. It's conversational AI designed to work for any industry. Let's put smart to work. Visit ibm.com/Watson Assistant.
You know, I'm officially disinviting Chris Morales to any future calls. I cannot believe he's taking this tact.
Well, he's going to, you know, Chris is the beat on a dead horse specialist.
If Chris would have
listened to the Culture Pop podcast, which featured me as a guest, podcast that before the pandemic he actually was involved with, he would have learned that you come up with the topics for the show and I react to them. I will never appear on a Mason and Ireland pre-show call. So, Chris, you can continue to bring this up every day, but you're going to be disappointed.
Yeah, it has been 26 years and John has not been on a pre-show call. So Chris has got to let this go.
Like, if you're you go to a psychiatrist, they would say that Chris is now officially obsessing.
Yes.
I think this is the third straight pre-show open. And today he actually hit it twice.
Yeah. No,
yeah.
He will not let this go. He is OCD, officially.
Yeah. Amen. So, all right, what's going on, man? How are you?
All is good. It was a good weekend. I went out to the desert. Everybody had tested negative for the COVID, so got to see my mom and not stepdad Leo. And
how are your mom and not stepdad Leo?
They're doing well under the circumstances. They made a big rack of ribs that they ordered in, and we had a good time. Weirdly, never turned on the TV the entire weekend. We just talked and talked and talked. And then this really strange way, because I talked to my mom now first thing in the morning every day, and spent the weekend out there with her this weekend. Never turned on the TV, just talked and talked. I feel like, and this is a really nice thing, I feel like I've never been closer to my mom than I am right now.
There are going to be byproducts of this pandemic, and very few of them will be good, but that is one of them. I've talked to more and more people that are doing Zoom calls with their family who they only see normally at like Thanksgiving and Christmas.
Yep.
And they're doing them once a week.
Yeah.
And they started off by lasting 10 minutes and now they're all lasting an hour or two.
Yep.
So people are finding ways to connect in these times of social distancing. And that is going to be a good byproduct for you. And speaking of connecting,
yeah.
Gavin Newsom finally came around today and said they are working towards, I'm reading this from an ESPN story, they are working towards allowing live sports in the state of California in June. Now, it'll be with no fans, and it would be following all CDC guidelines.
Yep.
But this was a bridge too far for Newsom for most of, I don't know, the entire pandemic. I was going to say most of last month, but he's never said that he was going to allow sports until today. New York, California, and Texas are now considering sports, professional sports, as soon as June. And Mace, it's May 18th.
Yeah.
So that's less than 2 weeks away.
It's coming fast, and we're almost there. And I'm thinking, geez, we could be in our offices at some point. I could see my work friends again soon.
Yeah, I think that's probably a ways off. But
you think?
Yeah, because it's not necessary. I mean,
yeah, I guess we're really not. We don't need to. We can telecommute, right? So
right.
We don't have to be
right.
there to
I
be
think
able
what,
to do this.
Yeah, I think
it.
What they're looking at here is opening restaurants, getting people into movie theaters with limited, what would you say, capacity? Limited,
yeah,
like
limited
20% capacity.
Yeah.
And allowing sports with no fans to help put some people back to work and to give some people some hope is finally, I think they saw what happened and how well it was received when Arizona and Florida took the lead on this. And
yeah, Governor, they did it last week, and California, Texas, and New York jumped on board. And I think Probably. Now, this is going to mean that if, in fact, baseball, if they follow their plan, and we'll talk a little bit about their 67-page health code that they're going to be instituting in order to provide a safe environment for players. If that goes ahead, that means there could be games at Dodger Stadium as soon as the 4th of July.
How about this? There could be games at SoFi Stadium.
At SoFi.
You know, we
and
were
by the
thinking,
way, think about how fast we're moving. Is it possible that fans could be at games for the NFL this year?
I think some fans is possible.
I will buy my Rams face mask.
I think some fans is possible. I can't see a situation where they're sitting next to each other. Now, what there's going to be a dance this week, and the governors today, like even Governor Cuomo, I was shocked by this quote. Governor Cuomo said, hockey, basketball, baseball, football, whoever can reopen, we're a ready, willing, and able partner. And that's in New York, where everything has been on lockdown and then some. But I think what's happening is they're using sports, as it often is, Mace.
Yep.
Sports is often used as kind of a...
it's entertainment.
Right word. Well, but like when Jackie Robinson broke the color barrier, sports kind of dragged society into something cool. And I think if sports reopens and it goes well and people are giving their live sports back, you saw golf and auto racing came back this weekend. I think that at least then people will. Now we don't know what it's going to look like. We still don't know what it's going to look like, but
well,
Korean Baseball League is a good thing. And like this weekend, the golf guys were like carrying their own bags and playing with microphones. I thought it was fun. I thought they did a really good job.
I did not watch that, but I know that a lot of people watch the NASCAR race. I know a lot of people watch the UFC. I'm holding out for baseball and NBA. And I think we're going to get those soon enough. I might watch that golf with Tom Brady and Peyton Manning, just because I think Peyton Manning will probably be really funny. And didn't they announce that Barkley's going to be one of the announcers on it?
Yeah, I think he was. I think Barkley was one of the guys when Tiger played Phil last year. I think
right.
Barkley, so they're bringing him back.
And I think he's going to come back for that. So we'll get into all that today. Lots of great news in the world. And, of course, last night was the final two episodes of The Last Dance, the incredible Michael Jordan documentary that told the life story, the basketball story of Michael Jordan. And we saw last night him win his sixth and final NBA championship. John, what was the takeaway for you?
And I guess we're going to talk to Casey Johnson today, and
yes.
I can't wait to talk to him. Casey is a sports writer in Chicago, and he has some insight on what happened with Jerry Krause. But for my money, what Krause and Reinsdorf did was one of the most ridiculous decisions by a professional sports franchise ever. And last night you saw why. I just know Dr. Buss never would have done that. Even if like he used to say all the time, when the Lakers won back-to-back titles in 09 and 10, all those guys were due a bunch of raises. And Dr. Buss said, you know, they've earned a right to defend their championship. How do you know how many in a row you can win if someone cuts you off? And for them to take the position, for Jerry Krause and Jerry Reinsdorf to take the position before the season.
Right.
And to say something as egregious as if Phil Jackson goes 82-0, he will not be the coach of the Bulls next year. It's just, I mean, it's a huge disservice to what those guys built.
Last night I thought finally, because Jerry Reinsdorf was not going to get through this scot-free. Finally, he indicated he wasn't willing to pay that kind of money to hold together a group that he didn't think could do it again. And, you know, Scottie Pippen was a free agent. He
wanted
to get
paid. Know?
Well,
how do you know if they could have done it again?
Who knows? We will never know. And I think that, you know, somewhere between Jerry Reinsdorf and Jerry Krause, they decided that group could not do it again, and they broke the sucker up. Now, at one point, he did offer Phil the opportunity to come back, but Phil did not want to coach what he viewed as potentially a rebuilding team without Michael Jordan. But if Phil had taken the job, would Jordan have come back?
Well, Jordan said it last night. had they offered them all one-year contracts, he would have come back.
He thinks they all would have. He thinks even Scottie Pippen would have come back.
Because he doesn't think Pippen would not want to be on the ride. You know, like, even though Pippen was getting ready. But just, Jerry Krause, it seems like, it's hard to talk about Jerry Krause because he's passed away. But it just seems to me that he had, and Casey Johnson, again, is coming up today at 4:30. He'll elaborate on this because Casey found a manuscript that Krause was working on explaining why this was all broken up.
Yes.
So we can talk to him about it. But and I've shared on the show before that I got to know a lot of the Chicago people who came west with Phil.
They all came to L.A. with Phil, sure.
And not one person had one nice thing to say about Jerry Krause. I mean, you have to give him credit for drafting all those guys and making the Scottie Pippen trade and building it. But he just didn't appear to have any people skills.
What
and that's
did they
what burned
think
him in the
Reinsdorf?
End. Well, I think Reinsdorf basically hid behind Krause. He just said, well, Krause is the GM, even though you heard last night, Reinsdorf tried to bring Phil back over Krause's head. You know, he went to Phil and said, hey, if you want to come back next year, you can do it. And Phil was the one who turned it down.
Well, because Phil had no guarantee that Michael was going to come back. Phil had no guarantee that Pippen was going to come back. Phil had no guarantee that a bunch of those guys were going to come back. And a lot of those guys left as free agents. They had bird rights on everybody, right? So they could have brought everybody back had he just paid the money.
Right. And one thing that it would have been incredibly awkward was Jerry Krause, who all year publicly has said, Phil's out, Phil's
right.
out, Phil's out. And but, you know, some of those guys actually told me that when they would go to work, Krause used to drive a Cadillac. And some of those guys told me that when they would go to work and they would pull into the Birdo Center,
yep,
and they would see Krause's Cadillac, they would just get a pit in their stomach.
Huh.
That just because he was, you know, most people have worked with somebody that can bring the whole office down.
You know what's weird? He was such a little... I mean, we're talking about a guy who's passed away, so I don't want to be careful. But he was such a little guy. He didn't seem all that intimidating, did he?
Apparently, he had Napoleon complex. You know what that is?
Yeah, you're sure. You're short and you act like you're tall.
Right. And that's... He always wanted credit for, you know, everything. And it just seems to me that Krause and Reinsdorf, and I'm with you, I think Reinsdorf deserves equal blame because either one of them could have gone to the other one and said, hey, we're making a huge mistake here.
Yep.
But neither one did. And they blew it up. And you saw it, how befuddled Jordan was by all of it. Like, really? We've won 6 titles in 8 years, including 3 in a row, and you're breaking us up?
And they showed Jordan that Reinsdorf clip. In which he explains, you know, we thought Rodman was clearly done. We thought Pippen was going to leave. We thought Kerr was going to leave. We thought all these guys were going to leave as free agents. And you know, basically, Reinsdorf was saying, I didn't want to pay the money. I'd already paid enough money. That is too. Now, do you think they would have won a 7th?
Would have been hard. Remember, that
would've
was
been
the,
hard.
That was the 50-game season. That was the shortened season,
which would have made it easier, I think, for a team that maybe is a little bit older, was dealing with injury, Scotty in the back injury, all that stuff. A shorter season, kind of a 50-game sprint, might have given them a better opportunity to win.
Right. So, but we'll never know because, you know, basically Krause and Reinsdorf canceled the Bulls.
Yeah, pulled the plug.
Yeah, it just seems incredibly. Can you imagine a team now that had won 6 out of 8 titles? And can you imagine Joe Lacob going to the Warriors and saying, yeah, you guys went to 5 straight finals, but you know what? I don't want to pay everybody. We're breaking it all up.
Right.
It just,
well, light years Lacob would never do that.
Yeah. Yeah, just ask him.
yeah, but think about that. He could behave like Jerry Reinsdorf, and he's not. He so far has been willing to pay absolutely everybody every last penny that they required.
And
so
those
is something
titles,
to be said for that.
Yeah, those titles pay for themselves, by the way. If you win the whole thing, you reap millions and millions of dollars in benefits. So he was just saying, you know, what he was looking at, and he talked about it last night, Reinsdorf, if you don't win it, if you pay all that money and you don't win it, then you lose a bunch.
Yeah, Reinsdorf was basically saying this is a bad bet.
Right.
I'm going to pay a lot of money, and it's a bad bet. I don't think we can do it again, which is fascinating, and we'll get into a little bit later on. By the way, Marcus Spears is going to be with us. He's got a take. I saw him on the Get Up this morning on the Last Dance, and also we'll talk some NFL with him. I think Ramona is going to stop by. Oh, now I'm doing the stop by thing. Is that a Sliwa thing, stop by?
Yeah, wow, you've been affected by Alan Sliwa, of all people.
Momo's going to hop on a little bit later on. We got that coming up for you. And by the way, in case you missed it, coming up next, the results of our MLB The Show Challenge. It wrapped up on Friday night. If you were not on the on Twitch or on Periscope watching it, we've got the results coming up for you next. Mason and Ireland, 710 ESPN. Yeah, I just got a tweet. Mace, simply stop with the stop by. Yeah, I've got to stop with the stop by. Stop that. So we've been doing this. We did it with NBA 2K, all-time great Laker teams. And now we did it with MLB The Show and all-time great Dodger teams. John was a heavy favorite to win our MLB The Show tournament between me, George, and him. John fell short.
I beat John in a
thriller on Friday night.
I scored one run in two games.
I felt so bad for Sandy Koufax. Six innings, no hits, one unearned run on an error by Hanley Ramirez. He was always such a clank at shortstop.
Yep, he was always one error away from screwing us, and he screwed me. But the big story is not me. It's you. You are some type of a video game juggernaut.
Yes.
What in God's name? In the Laker tournament, you went undefeated.
Yep.
In the Dodger tournament, you went undefeated. What? Are you like secretly playing video games in your spare time? What the hell?
You guys never listen to me when I talk about my analytics. But I ran an analytics program, and that is how I selected my all-time Dodgers team. And that, John, is why I won. Never scoff at analytics again. My analytics are undefeated.
Your analytics. 6-0. Your analytics are made up. There is no analytics for a video game.
How do you explain 6-0?
Well, I don't even think you had to go 6-0. You didn't lose to Sedano, did you?
No, then I beat Sedano 3-2 on a Gary Sheffield solo home run.
Right.
In the nightcap.
That's true. You went 3-0 in NBA 2K and 3-0 in MLB The Show.
Woo woo! Yeah, that's what I'm talking about.
I'd be looking for another. Is there a Madden? Can we play Madden?
That's next, Madden. Yeah. Yes, yes. So you tried to watch the Quibi show, the Donald Sterling one.
I'm very glad you brought this up. So Quibi, which I was very excited about. Quibi is the mobile video service which was created by Jeffrey Katzenberg, who's a big NBA fan. I see him at games all the time. I don't know him, but I always say hi to him. And Meg Whitman, who used to run eBay, right?
Right, and ran for governor and, all that stuff.
Okay, so they have everything on Quibi is less than 10 minutes long, is 10 minutes or less.
Yep.
They have a documentary out right now called Blackballed it's going to be a 10-episode series about when Donald Sterling in 2014 lost control of the Clippers and was banned by Adam Silver for life. And what makes this different than anything you've ever seen, including like Ramona's podcast and everything, is that they get most of the players. They get Chris Paul. They get DeAndre Jordan. They get J.J. Redick. They get Matt Barnes. They get Doc Rivers. They get pretty much all the people that were making decisions for the Clippers. And obviously the episodes are quick. Chris Paul's one of the producers. It's good. So, Mace, I sit down to watch it last night. I said I needed something after The Last Dance. And the first three episodes were out on Quibi.
Okay.
And Quibi is $5 a month, but you get a two-week free trial. Or you can do it $7 a month, $7 or $8 a month if you want no ads.
Yes.
But so right now I'm in my two-week free trial. And I go to, as you know, I have many large TVs in the Ireland compound.
Many large TVs,
I go to Screen Mirror off my phone so I can watch it with Lisa, who's sitting there with me.
Sure.
And it doesn't work. And I figure, okay, I'm not doing something right with the mirroring. And just for kicks, I type in, how do you screen mirror Quibi onto a smart TV? And I come to learn, you cannot. Quibi is so hung up on being mobile only that they don't allow you to screen mirror it. So you, in essence, have to watch anything on Quibi by yourself. Unless you want to watch something with someone else on a, like, iPhone. Like,
right.
What sense does that make? Now, in their defense, apparently so many people have complained about this that they say next month they're changing it.
It really makes no sense. So the concept. First of all, Quibi, you know where the name comes from, right?
I don't.
Quick Bites. It's okay. Quick Bites, so Quibi. And the idea is people have such short attention spans that they can only watch a show that lasts 10 minutes long. Now, I would challenge that. I think most people can last longer than 10 minutes watching a show. And I found that the quality of the shows, it's like, you know, John, you can't build up any momentum when you're watching a little 10-minute chunk of a show. So I've tried to watch a couple of them, and I'm like, come on, let's get this thing moving a little bit. And then you're right, you have to watch it on your phone, which makes no difference, which just makes no sense to me. I mean, we live in an age where people have access to all kinds of technology that they can fling onto big screens. We're used to seeing big screen technology. I don't know why they would foreclose the possibility that somebody could screen mirror that onto their TV.
It makes absolutely zero sense. I mean, none. And the funny thing is, it's not bad. Blackballed is not bad, but I'm shocked.
Is it not bad? The couple of shows I've tried have not been very good. They put a ton of money into production, too. Ton of money.
It's good. I think Lindsay's working on trying to get some people here, but one of the questions I would ask is, why in the world did you agree to go to Quibi?
Yeah, right.
Maybe Quibi agreed to pay them the most money or was willing to work with them to be a partner. I'm sure all these people that are working on Quibi are going there because they're drawing a check.
Yep.
But if I had a choice between Netflix and or HBO or ESPN or 30 for 30, or I'd go anywhere but Quibi.
Right.
Because I can't believe I have to repeat this and that it's true. For now, until they fix it, you can only watch Quibi on your phone.
Yes.
We all have big screen TVs. At least give us the option to watch it.
Or watch it on my computer. Watch it on my laptop, at least. There's stuff I watch on my laptop all the time. And you can make that full size screen. And it's like, it's not bad. I mean, it's not a big screen TV. But at least let me watch it on my laptop. It doesn't make any sense to me. All right. So I want to let's throw this out there. We were talking about Michael Jordan and The Last Dance. I think it's a fascinating question. And I want to put it to people listening right now. Do you think Michael Jordan and the Bulls, had they kept themselves together, had Jerry Krause decided to keep everybody, and had Jerry Reinsdorf decided to pay everybody, would they have won a seventh title? 877-710-ESPN, 877-710-ESPN. You can also tweet us at Venice Mace, M-A-S-E, at L.A. Ireland. And, John, what is your definitive opinion on this? Would they have? Assuming they kept everybody, would they have?
San Antonio won the title that year. And they played the Knicks in the NBA Finals. And the Knicks, I think you were living in New York. Didn't the Knicks win it as like an 8 seed?
They won it as an 8 seed. They knocked off. Who did they knock off in the
Miami,
first round?
I think.
Miami, yeah, in the first round. And that's the year, by the way, that was the OJ year.
No, right. No. The OJ year was 94.
Right.
The Knicks were better then. Those Knicks teams were like a top seed. The Knicks,
98, 99 was the Knicks year, but that's
with
the
Sprewell
one.
Sprewell and Patrick Ewing got hurt, and they went on a, I think Marcus Camby was on the team. Anyway, I think if you look at how the Eastern playoff shook out that year, I don't know who takes Maybe Indiana takes them down because Indiana had taken them to seven games the year before.
Indiana was so close, man. Reggie right. Miller. I forgot about how great Miller was.
But Indiana couldn't take out, you know, they couldn't make it to the finals in 99. So right. So I would have loved to have seen, if you make me answer the question, I'm not betting against Michael Jordan. Jordan basically at that time was LeBron. If you had Jordan, you were going to the finals. The only time in the 90s where Jordan didn't go to the finals was the 1 year he took off to play baseball, and then the year he came back and he didn't have his legs yet.
Right, right.
But every other year, 6 out of 8, he'd gone to the finals. So if you make me bet that, I'm betting on the Bulls.
Are you?
I am. Why would I bet against him?
I would not bet on the Bulls.
Who would you have bet on? Who comes out of the East?
Probably Indiana. Indiana was so friggin' close. And yeah, you're right. Mace. The Knicks did beat Miami in the first round. Although, what's interesting is, that's interesting. So, three teams tied with the East in that 50-game season. Miami, Indiana, and Orlando were all 33-17.
Right. So, what happened? Who knocked Indiana out?
Indiana.
I mean, because you're saying you would have picked Indiana, but Indiana didn't even make it without the Bulls. You're picking a team that couldn't do it even without Chicago there.
Here's the X factor to me. I think Rodman was done. And Rodman was a really important part of that team. I think Rodman was done.
Hey, guys, the Knicks knocked out the Pacers that year.
Okay.
So the Knicks knocked out the Heat and the Pacers.
Yeah. Right. So they would have knocked him out in the Eastern Conference Finals, Funch?
And Patrick Ewing, by the way, Jordan knocked Patrick Ewing and the Knicks out. Ewing wasn't a big part of that 99 team because he was hurt. But Michael Jordan knocked the Knicks out in the 90s 4 times.
But John, I think Rodman was done. I think he was absolutely done. You know, I didn't realize this. He only played 35 more games after leaving the Bulls.
Including only a handful for the Lakers.
Yeah, yeah. But, I mean, he was completely self-absorbed. He was a complete narcissist, and put himself above team. Phil, by the way, handled that beautifully. Yeah, I know, but it had started to catch up, and he, again, only played 35 games after that run in 98 finals. So I think he was the big X factor in it. Indiana was so close. I mean, I know they were knocked out by the Knicks in the Eastern Conference Finals.
They went to the finals the next year and lost to the Lakers.
Right, right. I mean, that team was really, really good, though. And I think time was catching up to Chicago. I mean, would I be surprised if the Bulls won in 99? No, but if I was a betting man, I would have bet the field.
But how do you pull the plug on it and not even give them
a
chance?
That's the ultimate question for Krause and Reinsdorf is how do you and I haven't seen Reinsdorf aside from a couple of clips in this show be interviewed and really grilled about that. He seems to have gotten away from it pretty scot-free. Well, in terms of criticism.
Because right after that, was it 04, the White Sox won the World Series.
So Reinsdorf
in Chicago is looked at as a success story, even though after what you saw last night, the end of The Last Dance,
yep,
the Bulls have never gone back to the finals since. They haven't even made it to the finals.
Right, they've been rebuilding ever since.
Correct.
Yeah. Yeah. All right. We'll get some phone calls in. 877-710-ESPN. Do you think they would have won in 98-99? Marcus Spears is going to join us in about 15 minutes. Momo's going to join us at 4 o'clock today. And then at 4:30, I'm excited for this. We'll be joined by Casey Johnson from NBC Sports Chicago, who's got some insight into exactly what went down, exactly how that championship Bulls team was broken up. Mason and Ireland, 710 ESPN. All right, get your calls in just a moment. I want to make sure everybody knows because it's really, really good news. Three states, including California, have announced that professional sports could be returning as soon as June. which means all this talk about Major League Baseball, of course, NBA playoffs with the Lakers, all that stuff is being the path is being cleared away now to be able to get that back and to sort of lead us out of this really, really dark period.
So you asked me if I think the Bulls would have won it had they kept everybody together. I said I think they probably would have. You said they wouldn't. But,
yes.
Mace, I'm glad, I'm very glad they broke them up. You know why?
Why?
Because if they don't, the Lakers probably don't get Phil. At least they don't.
Right.
They don't get him when they got him.
Right. Right.
In other words, Phil took the year off. Then he came to the Lakers, and then went on three in a row, four finals in 5 years. Let's go to the phones. Terry in Mar Vista on line three. Hey Terry, you're on 710 ESPN. Hi.
Hey John, Steve.
Hey Terry.
Hey man.
Terry. Hey, that was my point. I told Funches that Lakers don't win anything if the Bulls stay together.
Because they Phil doesn't come when he comes, yeah.
Right. I mean, it's just like if you take the job in Texas, you might not be the sideline reporter. You might not be the on-air voice of the Lakers.
Right. It's
you
all timing.
One thing in life.
Yep.
Yep. It's all sliding doors, man. It's all sliding doors. You just happen to be at the right place at the right time. And the fact right. that the Bulls dynasty was disassembled at that point cleared the way for Phil to come to Los Angeles. You're absolutely right.
We need to thank Jerry Krause.
Yes, he deserves more credit for helping us get Phil Jackson.
Absolutely.
Yeah, that's actually, if you think about it, from a sliding doors perspective, a huge turning point in the history of the Lakers.
Yep.
Because if Shaq and Kobe, people forget, they put Shaq and Kobe together in 1996, and Del Harris was the coach, and he couldn't get them to the finals. And the first year Phil became the coach of the team, he got them to the finals. So there you go. Thanks for the phone call, man. Let's go to Mitch in Torrance. Hey, Mitch, you're on ESPN 710. Hi.
Hey, how you guys doing?
Good,
Mitch,
man.
We're good. How
it's
you doing?
It's been about 15 years since I've talked to both of you. But my take is you need to look at see who was a free agent at that time. And it seems to me that Jerry Krause wasn't willing to find out who were the free agents who would be willing to join the Bulls at that point. Because that's what we do now. We look and find out who the free agents are.
Right, but Mitch, they wouldn't have had any money to spend on free agents. They were severely over the cap.
He would have had to completely juggle things around Jordan.
If you only get one super free agent, then maybe you don't sign Kerr. Maybe you don't sign somebody else. But if you find somebody else who's a free agent, who's a superstar, then you've got the three triumvirate.
That's not really bringing the team back. Because if you bring them back, if you offer contracts, one-year contracts, to Jordan, Pippen, Rodman, and Kerr, you don't have any money left over to pay anybody else.
That's for granted. But you both said that Rodman wasn't coming back. So if Rodman wasn't coming back, his money is going to somebody else.
Yeah, see, John, I think he makes an interesting point. You could have brought back a recombination of players. In other words, if they really felt, and I think Reinsdorf mentioned specifically, felt that Rodman was done, and you reconfigured that roster, maybe you don't bring Kerr back. Maybe you replace him with a cheaper option. I mean, Jerry Krause did that once, rebuilt a team around Michael Jordan. It was really two separate groups aside from Pippen. Who's to say he couldn't have done that or that the Bulls couldn't have done that a third time by going out into the free agent market and making changes to be able to create cap space?
Yeah, I'd have to go back and look to see who was available. But, what I was going to say is they only had, a one-year window to win it because the Lakers dynasty was coming and the Lakers dynasty arrived next year. But if they keep Phil Jackson in Chicago, maybe the Lakers dynasty never starts. That's what makes this all fascinating. Thanks, Mitch, for the phone call. Let's go to Max in Sherman Oaks. Hey, Max, you're on 710 ESPN. Hi.
What's up, Max?
Hey, guys. John, as Lakers fans, God bless Jerry Krause, right? God bless him. By the way, I really appreciate you naming that game after me a few weeks back, the Guess the Fact game for me.
Oh, good.
I think Yeah, it was fun. It was fun. You know, the thing is, I got to say, you guys have some super producers there. Michael, I am legend, Funches, man. That guy just keeps you guys running. And Lindsay, I got to say, she's awesome. I think she's making you guys better. And I'm trying to I want Lindsay to understand something, because she gets into this thing with you, Mace, about, you know, by the way, good bomb to the hour for you, Mace. Good bomb to the hour for you. You know, like, Lindsay, these guys, I love these guys, but they're not too terribly concerned about precision. You know what I mean?
Very true. Very true.
I think she's going to help. Mace, you guys can make a compromise. You could say you got a guest, right? Let's say it was John Hamm. We got John Hamm, bomb of the hour at 3:40. Just add the two together.
There you go. You're absolutely right. So, hey, I was going to say, Lindsay's off today, but I'm sure she's listening. And let's not let this go to her head, okay?
Hey, well, by the way, John, Mace, I have to get in. You know, you said Tiger King was going away. I'm shocked you haven't said it yet. You know Nicolas Cage is being put on?
I know.
Yeah, we actually, you must have missed it, Max. We talked about that okay. he's going to be part of the Tiger. He's perfect. He's
Joe Exotic. He's crazy ass. He's a crazy ass.
Guys, don't you think, going back to this question, that Spurs team with Robinson and Duncan would have taken the Bulls? Because I think this, but even if Robin's still there, Pippen was not Pippen anymore. You know, that back injury kind of lingered for the rest of his career. And as great as Jordan was, I don't think they would have had an answer for the Admiral.
Well, remember, that was a one-year run for that particular group. You know, Robinson and Duncan won that one title. And then Robinson,
they won again in 2003, John.
Right, but Robinson at that point was, you know, Duncan was the best player in the 2003 team. Robinson was the best player in the 99 team. And then when they won again in 2007, Tony Parker was the best player. And then when they won again in 2014, Kawhi, I mean, they just kept changing it.
But make a good point. Pippen was definitely in decline.
I mean, although,
Pippen
look at his numbers.
14 a game in Houston the next year, and then 12 a game, 11 a game, 10 a game, 10 a game, and 6 a game when he went back to Chicago. So he was not the same player after that championship run that he was before.
Who they have had guarding them in the post? And also, you got Popovich, too, like in terms of the coaching, Phil versus Popovich. You know, I mean, yeah, Phil got him plenty with the Lakers, but Pop got us back too with the Spurs. So
right, believe it or not, when Phil and Pop met in the playoffs, you know, they coached in the same era. When they met in the playoffs, Phil had Pop's number. Phil was 4-1 against Pop in playoff series. In 2002, Pop knocked Phil out. But every other year when they went head to head, Phil knocked Pop out.
You mean 2003?
Right, thank you.
Won in 2002.
Yeah, 2003, second round, Popovich knocked Phil out. But in every other series, Phil beat Pop. But it would have been fun. It's fun to kind of kick around. Max, thank you for the phone call.
Thanks, Max. Appreciate it, man.
Thanks, guys. Have a good day.
All right, see ya.
Do you think Lindsay makes us better, by the way?
Sure, yeah.
Yeah, I think more or less.
She doesn't make us worse.
No, she does not make us worse. She does not make I've been... You know how I felt when she originally came on. I was very, very concerned. I think at one point I said, I think the powers that be are trying to torpedo our show.
Sabotage the show.
I no longer believe that. I think Lindsay's done a very good job. She hopefully will be back tomorrow. But she's getting a well-deserved day off.
By the way, Steve Kerr on the program tomorrow.
Yeah, how about that?
Make sure you stay tuned for that. And coming up next, Marcus Spears from The Get Up, which you and I watch on a regular basis, will join us.
That's coming up next for you, Mason and Ireland, 710 ESPN. All right, 710 ESPN, Mason and Ireland, what is going on? It's another really, I guess it rained a little bit overnight, but it's beautiful now. It's perfectly clear, so good day for a walk, good day for a round of golf if you're a golfer. Starting to get outside, get around a little bit. I wore my mask all weekend long. Not so bad wearing a mask. Not so bad.
Wait a minute.
You're not wearing it when you're golfing, are you?
No. Well, you have to wear it in the common areas.
Yeah,
you have to wear
areas.
It when you're around the clubhouse and on the first tee, and then once you get out on the course, you can take it off.
Yeah, you stop and get gas, you wear the mask. Finally, everybody had a negative COVID test, so I got to hang out with mom and not stepdad Leo.
How long do you think that lasts, that we wear masks as a general rule?
Boy, I don't know. I mean, at this point, I don't know. I mean... I'm surprised that it's moving as fast as it is, because we seem to be pulling out of this at a faster pace than I originally thought. I don't know how long we wear masks. I mean, do we get another surge of this stuff at some point in the fall? I'm not sure. Do we go to a movie theater? I don't know if I would feel comfortable going to a movie theater right now.
Even a socially distanced movie theater?
Yeah, I don't know. You're sitting in the dark with a bunch of strangers. You hear a cough, and you're like, oh, God, am I in some sort of horror movie?
Right? Well, it also depends. Like, we hear from all sorts of people, like, through social media, and some people are extremists on either side.
On both sides, yeah.
Yeah, like there's a couple of people that tweet us that say, this is the end of the world. You guys are suggesting murder. We can't have sports, blah, blah, blah. And then there's, on the other side of it, it's, why do I ever have to wear a mask? It doesn't make any sense to me, blah, 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 blah. The truth lies somewhere in the middle.
Well, and in the end, John, I think everybody is going to wind up being responsible for their own health, because there's what you're allowed to do and what you're willing to do, right? There's two different things. I'm allowed to go to a movie theater, but am I willing to go to a movie theater? Am I willing to go outside without a mask, right? In the end, it's going to your own personal feeling is going to be the thing that determines it. Like right now, like you say, you'd go to a restaurant if one opened right now.
I would. Now, would I have to wear a mask in the restaurant? I would take it off to eat, but when I walked
in and sat
down.
Take it off to eat, but yeah, I'm guessing you probably would for a while. Yeah, yeah. And yet your wife Lisa would not.
Yeah, I'm probably not going to any restaurants anytime soon because she's out. She's like you. She's conservative in that regard. She doesn't want to push it.
Yeah, and I think in the end, everybody's going to be responsible for their own health. Like, I told my mom I would just be so pissed off if she went out and started shopping and all that stuff right now, because she's in that danger age. And, you know, I think especially people that age have got to be careful no matter what, because it hasn't completely gone away. But you're right, John. There are people on both sides who, you know, who are extreme positions, and they're really, really dug in. I find myself somewhere in the middle. Like, I don't find it impossible that in 4 months, when the NFL season opens, that I might be at SoFi Stadium now, right? Is that 4 months away? September,
yeah.
4 months away.
I think if you are, you will be spread out. Like, you and Juan will be able to sit in your seats, and then there won't be anybody. There'll be three or four empty seats before you see someone else. I think that's how they're going to do it.
Right.
And you won't be able to go to every game necessarily. Like, your game, they'll pick three or four games that you can go to, and then three or four games that the people who own the seats next to you can go to, and divide it up that way.
Right.
Speaking of football, if you watch The Get Up, and Mason and I watch it every single day. You know, one of the stars is Marcus Spears, who is nice enough to join us now. Marcus, how are you, man? How you holding up?
What's up, guys? I'm doing well, man. I'm actually finishing up my day on TV, and now I got to take my kids out of the house because they are absolutely losing their mind.
All right. Now, Marcus, I want to start in a strange place. When you were a rookie in Dallas, and correct me if I'm wrong, Keyshawn Johnson, who hosts the morning show on our station and we know really well, Keyshawn was a vet on that team, right?
Yes, he was.
Okay, so did he treat you kindly? Was he one of the vets that kind of put his arm around you? Or did he haze you and give you a hard time?
Oh, Keyshawn was cool, man. Nah, he didn't haze me. You know, when I got in the league, it's usually defensive guys take care of the defensive draft picks, and offensive guys kind of deal with their guys, but... Nah, Keyshawn was cool, man. Watched him go about his work. Learned a lot of things from him about being a professional. But outside of the, you know, the annual you do this because you're a rookie, or me and DeMarcus Ware having to take Bill Parcells' water during practice, during breaks, we used to alternate that. We get a little stuff from the vets, but Keyshawn wasn't one of those guys.
Marcus Spears is with us from Get Up on ESPN, Mason in Ireland, 710 ESPN. So I saw you this morning talking about The Last Dance. What is your, as a professional athlete, what's your biggest takeaway from The Last Dance?
Man, I just think I understand now more so, and, you know, we hear it all the time about MJ, but the competitive edge, kind of to see him today still have that being removed from the game as long as he's been removed. So you kind of realize that this is just who this dude is. This is his personality. It wasn't a flip a switch when you actually playing the game and then you turn into, you know, the nice guy that everybody wants to hang around. Like, this is Jordan's personality. And whether you like that or gravitate to that or think it's bullying or leadership or whatever, whatever in him created that fire to be who he is, obviously pushed him to accomplish more than anybody will ever accomplish in their professional careers, possibly. It just reaffirmed to me that he just was made out of something different than most guys you come across in any professional sport or on any level.
We're talking to Marcus Spears, who covers football primarily for the network ESPN. Marcus won a national title at LSU. As a matter of fact, when you were at LSU, Marcus, Nick Saban was your coach. What makes Saban, now, you know, he's considered just statistically the best college football coach ever. Why?
Yeah.
What makes him that?
Well, one, I mean, obviously you got to win to start having that conversation revolve around you, but I think it's the ability to see guys where they should be. And what I mean by that is not only how you help the team, how he formulates guys and puts them in certain positions to be successful, but, you know, I'll give you a quick story. I came into LSU as the number one tight end in the country when I signed and he was the head coach. And midway through my freshman year at LSU, he moved me to defense because his experience, his knowledge, and also the best way to help the team and to get on the field immediately was for me to play defense and the best thing for my future, which ended up, you know, obviously working out, going to the next level. But I think that ability and then consistency, it may sound boring, but he approaches it the same every day. And the difference is, his approach every day, you could get old and bored and tired with it, but it's at the highest possible level it can be. So when you see somebody giving that type of effort as a coach, as a player, you feel like you got a responsibility to reciprocate it. And I think that's how you become a champion, or that's how you have consistently good teams, is that you kind of set a climate and a culture. And if dudes don't fit in that culture, they won't be around that long. And for the ones that do, you know that they're winners, mentally strong, physically strong, and you have a chance to win a championship. I think he builds his teams that way. He relates to players. He tries to get on your level. And eventually it turns into success. And, you know, we all like success.
So Marcus, it feels like here in California, I think you're in New York, they're in New York, there mm-hmm. is talk that there could be professional sports as soon as the month of June. What does it feel like to you? Do you think we're going to get NFL football this fall?
I do feel like we're going to get it. I do feel it's a real possibility that we have it without fans. And for as crazy and as weird as that would be if that happens, football has a way of kind of evolving to whatever it needs to evolve to, right? We had football has went through so many magnificent changes. And when I say magnificent, not all have been good, but they have been drastic changes that people thought would ruin the game. You know, the big hits went away and they said, well, they play powder puff football now. The protection of the quarterback. You can't hit these guys. So it's an offensive league now. It's so many transitions. The cut block being removed, head injuries, the CTE conversation changed a lot. Guys were retiring young. I think this is another situation where the NFL will adjust to what they need to adjust to, in order to play football in this climate. And we can't keep acting like TV contracts don't matter in this conversation. Like, I get it, and I understand that you want to have the staff at the stadiums, and you want to the NFL employ so many more people than just the players. I mean, we talk about the players and the coaches and the owners and GMs, but they employ so many people outside of that realm. They fund and support so many businesses outside of the actual game. So it'll be a lot of people hurt, but at the same time, when those games are on, people are watching, and that responsibility that the television networks and the NFL has to those television networks, I think they're going to try to play these games no matter what the situation is within the stadium.
We're talking to Marcus Spears from ESPN. Marcus, you guys talk about college football every day. What do you think college football looks like 2-3 months from now? For example, you went to LSU. We're out here where USC is. Are some schools going to play 5 or 6 games when other schools are going to play 12? Are some schools not going to play at all? What's your gut telling you we're going to see when college football starts?
My gut tells me there will be some sort of uniformity, and that uniformity may mean we don't get a full season of college football. That uniformity may mean we start the season later, and that brings up a whole nother set of questions and issues. But I believe that there will be uniformity, because when you think about college football, and I know we have the delineation between the NCAA and college football, but the bottom line is this: college football thrives because of college football all around the country. I've heard the talk about the Southeastern Conference and the ACC and the Pac-12. They're going to decide to do what they want to do if they break away from the NCAA's model. But the bottom line is, football on the West Coast has a direct effect on football in the Southeast, and football in the Southeast has a direct reflection on the middle of the country. So it's not just as simple as saying, well, our states are open and we're going to play each other and y'all deal with what y'all dealing with in those regions. There's a benefit to having so many colleges and so many historic programs actually have those matchups. Think about in the past, before college football season started, how excited we got about Pac-12 SEC matchups or ACC top teams playing against Big Ten top teams early off in the season. A few years ago, there was gripes about it not being great opening weekends in college football. That's because all of that stuff really works together. So I would be surprised to see one region of the country start a college football season and the other one sit back and wait till their states can open. I think it'll be uniformity.
All right. Well, it all feels like it's going in the right direction, Marcus, which is great for the country. And obviously, a byproduct of that is it's great for us at ESPN. We appreciate you spending a couple of minutes. Thank you very much.
Yeah, man. Let's keep our damn fingers crossed now. This thing got to get going.
We're doing it, man. We're doing it.
I don't know what the hell I'm going to do, guys.
Yeah. Hey, Marcus, keep killing it on the get up, man. You're really doing great. We really enjoy watching you.
I appreciate it, brothers. Y'all take care, man.
All right, see ya.
Marcus Spears there, the big swagoo on the get up every morning. All right, coming up next, hey, Momo's going to stop by.
Excellent.
Oh, God, there, I just did it again. She's going to stop by. I got to quit saying that.
You've been Momo's, Sleewood.
Momo's coming on. Momo's coming on. Next, Mason and Ireland, 710 ESPN.